So here we are at Palm Sunday. Typically, on Palm Sunday, church looks a lot different than how it's looking now. Generally, we, thanks to Cherie and Graham, have our palms in our hands as we celebrate the last week of the season of Lent, and as we prepare to head into Holy Week, as we prepare to enter the most holy time that we have in our faith, as we begin to think about Jesus's betrayal and crucifixion and or his arrest and ultimate resurrection on Sunday morning. I remember, or was remembering this past week, our sunrise service that we had last year, and we had 18 people come to that, and it was at 6 o'clock a.m., because that was, on that day last year, the day that the sun rose, and we had 18 people who got up at 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., to come be at Scripps La Jolla Park at that time, and I remember that that was a really special service, and we shared communion there together. And I had no idea at that time that the world would change in such significant ways that would require us to do church in such a completely different medium than we ever have before. But the truth is that we are adaptable, and we are moved with the way that the Spirit leads us, and so here we are responding to the needs of our time and celebrating Palm Sunday in this way in our different homes. Now, typically, since today is the first of the month, we would be the first Sunday of the month, we would be having communion. And I thought about this, about how to do this, and I thought that it would be best if we saved communion for when we are all back together again. Communion, I think, then will be extra special if we are in our building and we are back together and we are celebrating sort of the body of Christ coming back together again. A lot of churches are doing communion in their homes and or doing sort of virtual, different virtual communion experiences. And that's all great. But I didn't want you to fret over bread and juice or having to go out and think you had to go make an unnecessary trip to the store or to fiddle with things in your house. I thought that saving communion for when we are together would be something that would be really special. And I am hopeful that that will come soon. So here we are on Palm Sunday, and the text that you read in the PDF is the text that tells us of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey, which is incredibly poignant because at that same time, there was a basically war parade going on the other side of the town. So the empire was bringing in their chariots and their war stallions, and it was just sort of this military parade. And then on the other side of town, you have Jesus, who's coming in, who's riding on a donkey. He's humble. He's vulnerable. And it's interesting how our present context changes what comes off the page when we read a text, because I was struck by when it talks about how the crowds were surrounding Jesus and the crowds of people were putting down their cloaks on the ground so that he could, so that his donkey could walk down the path. And that word crowds just hit me, and I had a visceral reaction to it, almost like, no, we don't do crowds now. We don't want crowds now. But, you know, the crowds surrounding Jesus, no, Jesus socially distanced these days. And it was interesting how that image of Jesus surrounded by so many different people was a little startling given what life has been like for us over the past month. That we think of that in terms of the public health emergency that has sort of transpired, And we think, well, we want Jesus to be safe, so maybe no crowds. But at the time, this was a wonderful thing that Jesus was coming in and the people were surrounding him. And he knew where he was headed. He knew that he was headed into Jerusalem and that this would be a time where his humility and his vulnerable state would be put in stark contrast with the message of the empire at the time. And he was coming in vulnerable and unprotected and really embodying justice, mercy, and compassion. And so as we begin this last week of Lent, as we begin Holy Week, these are things that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about Jesus walking into town unafraid on that donkey, and he went with the hope and the faith that what God had in plan for the world was something that would bring people justice and mercy and compassion, and that he was part of this great story of redemption and love for the entire world. So for the theme of this week's worship at home, I chose the G's Bend quilters. And the reason I chose them is because if you research a little bit about them, you'll find out that they live in this little tiny town, which is now called Boykin. And the reason it used to be called G's Bend is because it is located on a bend in the river. So if you look at a map, there's a bend in the river, and right there is this little tiny town of 230 people called Boykin, Alabama, which is located in Wilcox County. And nearly all of the residents of Boykin are the descendants of sharecroppers and freed slaves. And this particular region in Alabama has sort of been forgotten, along with southern Mississippi. Southern Alabama is a place that lacks in industry. It lacks in a lot of economic and educational opportunity for its residents. And so the jobless rate of Wilcox County is something astronomical, like 50%. And so a lot of the population don't have jobs, and they work the land, and for some of them, indoor plumbing is a relatively recent luxury. But one of the things that distinguishes this community is that the art of quilting has been passed down from generation to generation, and the style of the quilts are very unique. And as you had the opportunity to see this in the quilts I chose for the PDF, that the visual vocabulary that these women have created is very distinctive. It's very contemporary. It's very color-based. And these quilts were largely undiscovered until maybe just a couple decades ago, when an art dealer from Atlanta happened to be in Wilcox County and he saw these quilts. And from that moment forward, the world has fallen in love with them, so much so that they have been in numerous museums across the United States. They even have their own postage stamp at this point. And several companies have licensed the images for use in several dishware lines, home decor products. The G's Bend quilts are really a distinctive landmark in the history of American textiles. And these women passed this down from generation to generation in sort of their lives, working in their homes and staying at home and finding a way to survive and to subsist in this environment in which they were put. And it reminded me a lot of sort of our world today. Like Wilcox County, now our whole world industry has come to a halt in many ways. Joblessness has increased, unfortunately. And we are in our homes, and there is not a lot going on. And so we now have maybe just a slight taste of the rhythms of life in Boykin, Alabama. It's slower. It's more home-based. But these women, through this experience and through that way of living, have been able to develop this very distinctive visual vocabulary through textiles. And so I thought that I would share that with you as I continue to look for and find people who can inspire us as we continue to adjust to this life that requires us to stay at home. So as far as this next week is concerned, we will celebrate Easter on Sunday. However, I'm going to offer us the first Sunday that we come back all together in worship is going to be our official Easter. I think Easter is so important that, and we have been through such a desert, literally, with Lent. I saw a meme on Facebook where somebody said, I didn't quite expect to give up as much as I had to give up for Lent this year. And I think that's true. We are still in that desert walk, and we will be for some time, it looks like. But when we come back together and we are in our building again and we are together, that really will feel like a resurrection. And that will feel like the stone has been rolled away. And so we will celebrate Easter together, but we will mention Easter next week as well. And we will reflect on sort of what does Holy Week look like with all of what is going on. So I continue to pray for you and think about all of you, and I want to thank you also for sending me all of the updates that you've sent me, the photos. People have sent me book recommendations, which has been lovely. Anything that you want to share with the congregation, please send me, and I will include that in a future worship packet, which I think is so important for staying connected. So, as we go forward this week, may we be reminded of the one whom we follow and his humility and his vulnerability and his honesty in taking that walk into an uncertain future as he journeyed into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and that we are on a similar walk towards an uncertain future, but that resurrection is certainly promised for us on the other end. May it be so. Amen.